Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hello, and welcome back to The Life of a Song. I'm David Cheel, and this is the last episode in our current series. We'll be back in mid-June, when I'll be discussing Radiohead's song No Surprises with the FT's pop critic Ludo Hunter-Tilney. Radiohead are headlining Glastonbury this year, 20 years after they first headlined the festival. One of the highlights of their 1997 Glastonbury set was No Surprises, from their globe-conquering album OK Computer. But in the years following the album's success, they turned their back on this song and others from the album, embarking on new adventures in electronic, experimental, and even jazz-based music. Ludo and I will be talking about No Surprises and some of its best cover versions, and the album that became a millstone for the band. The weekly Life of a Song series continues to run in print, in FT Life and Arts, and online at ft.com/arts. But first, this week, David Honigman has written about I Can't Get No Satisfaction. In the mid-1960s, there must have been something in the pillows. The melody of the song Yesterday came to Paul McCartney in a dream, and inspiration struck a slumbering Keith Richards in a similar way early in 1965 in a Florida hotel in the form of a five-note guitar riff. He woke up and hastily recorded it onto a reel-to-reel tape. Then he went back to sleep. Richards took the tape to his bandmates and asked them the same question McCartney had posed to his. Was this an original fragment, or simply cryptomnesia, a non-attributed memory? But the riff was original enough and powerful enough to make a song, slight chimes with Martha and the Vandellas' song Nowhere to Run aside. Richards laid down a fuzzed guitar as a marker for where he thought a Motown-style horn part should run. Rare stereo versions of the song separate out the guitar lines, so that you can hear the distorted line and an acoustic one run in tandem. But in the mono brutality of the released version, the two become one. The guitar line comes and goes. At times it drops out so that the beat is kept solely by hand claps and drums hard on the beat, and then the riff nags back in. The lyrics are often read as referring specifically to sexual frustration, with Jagger rhyming satisfaction with girl reaction, though it sounds as if he is singing about girly action, which is even worse. But the subject matter is wider than that. Most of the song is a rejection of consumerism. An advertiser tells the narrator how white his shirts could be and which brand of cigarette he should smoke. Jagger's verses are literally one note, a sort of drawled proto-rap, and they make the diminished arpeggio of the chorus all the more striking, a form of release that simultaneously bemoans its own lack of release. The sexual references in the third verse guaranteed the kind of controversy on which the band thrived. It set them up for censorship on television and radio, and sent fans to the shops for a potent hint of danger. Satisfaction was the Stones' first American number one. It marked the point at which they moved away from being rhythm and blues copyists to the creators of bona fide classics. For many, Satisfaction encapsulates not only the band, but the whole decade. When the BBC adapted Malcolm Bradbury's novel The History Man and wanted to show the anti-hero Howard Kirk as a swaggering sexist out of his time, this was the song they put on his record player. Satisfaction also marked the point at which Brian Jones, the band's founder, became peripheral to the Rolling Stones' future, even though it was he who insisted it should be a single. Half a century later, the song is still central to the Stones' sets. Generally, it marks the point at which their concerts come to life. Satisfyingly enough, Jagger recently became a father for the eighth time, at the age of 73. Cover versions of Satisfaction abound. Britney Spears, Samantha Fox and Vanilla Ice have all weighed in. For such a celebrated song, though, surprisingly few covers come from actual heavyweights. Otis Redding's version is at best an approximation of the lyrics, but he does have the bright, punchy horns of which Richards had dreamt. Hey, 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 what? Devo, the Akron-based surrealist provocateurs, recorded a spiky, angular stab. Aretha Franklin, uncharacteristically, missed the point by sounding all too satisfied. More recently, at the Brit Awards in 1994, PJ Harvey and Björk performed the song as a duet for Ego and Id. Björk was at her most gamine, and Harvey at her most androgynous. Taking the lead vocal, Harvey flattened out the melody even more resolutely than Jagger, and slowed the guitar line down to a brutally clipped dry strum. Björk's backing vocals grew from growl to shriek, sounding increasingly unhinged. Once again, so many years on, the song sounded positively dangerous.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.